Today, we are going to be taking a peek behind the curtain once again into the life of real estate agents in For Sale Not Haunted 2. These are some interesting stories, and as a matter of fact, you guys are going to be very excited because I have set aside a few of the real zingers to debut on Sleep With The Lights On. I'm not sure if that's going to come out alongside this one, but we'll find out at some point, you know? It hasn't been recorded yet, but I believe in my heart of hearts that it will be nearby. These are some of my favorite stories, and I actually, while I was looking into this particular episode, I found some absolutely wild stories from real estate agents, realtors, brokers. I honestly don't know the correct term for it, but we're going to get into that in just a moment here. So we will see you on the inside.
You are now entering the realm of the Freaky Deaky. An unsuspecting stop at the crossroads of fantasy and reality, where the frayed edges of make-believe seep into this cookie-cutter, white-picket world you've been led to believe is far from extraordinary. What you're about to hear are true stories.
Alleged true stories.
Christian, just... okay? Tales of the strange and inexplicable thought only to exist in film and folklore. Although difficult to accept, we do not know everything about this reality. About time or space, what lies beneath the ocean's depths. And try though we might, the unchanging truth remains. There are some things we legitimately cannot explain logically.
Folks, welcome back to the Freaky Deaky. As mentioned earlier, we're getting into even more realtor horror stories. It feels like, I believe that was episode like 150 or something like that. So it's almost been a full year since we've covered that.
Wow.
I don't want to think about that. Time is going too quickly. Christian, how are you doing today?
I am doing spectacular.
Isn't that amazing? If you are new to the show, we ask one thing and one thing only of you, and that is that you check it out in its entirety. If you're a fan of what you hear, slap a 5-star review on that bad boy. And honestly, if you're a fan of dry humor, paranormal stories, and a nonsensical soundboard, then you're in the right place.
I thought you said if you're nude to the show at first.
They can do whatever they want from the comfort of their home, man. That is not my concern. However, what is my concern is that you follow us on social media at Freaky Deaky Pod, pretty much across the board. Subscribe on YouTube. Mentioned previously, we are going to be dropping a For Sale Not Haunted themed episode for Sleep With The Lights On in the near future. And Sleep With The Lights On is our bi-monthly YouTube exclusive show where every other week we drop 3 scary stories and discuss them for your viewing pleasure. Isn't that a treat? And I know I hear a lot of you saying, hey, Scott, doesn't that sound a lot like this podcast? And I say, yeah, it does, but shorter and also a different name. So we're hoping that that grows faster than this podcast so we can eventually rebrand this podcast to something else. And that's all a peek behind this curtain.
Scott is the wizard.
That is something that I've been called before.
But the wizard was a bad guy, wasn't he?
He was indeed, and I'm fine with that. That's all beside the point, folks. Let's get into these For Sale Not Haunted stories, shall we? This first one is called Hair Raising, and it's by Your Cat's a Troll. It says, I once had buyers who were very spiritual people. One day I'm on my way to show them a house that had once been an old church house and was converted to a beautiful log/wood home. As I'm getting close to the house, my buyer calls me and tells me that they're good on looking at the house and don't want to go inside, and saying, quote, you'll see why when you pull up. So I go over the crest of a hill, and there's the house with a huge hillside graveyard right next to it. I'm talking there's headstones no more than 10 feet from the back door. Said graveyard was not disclosed in the listing, nor did the listing agent mention it to me. So my buyers are adamant they don't even want to go inside and are going to head to the next house we look at. But I was curious and decided to go inside. The inside of the house was beautiful and modern, and you'd have no idea that it used to be an old church. Everything seemed normal until I went up the stairs to the large loft above the living room. As soon as both of my feet hit the top step of the stairs, every single hair on my body stood up. I'm talking arms, back of my neck, legs, everything. It wasn't a bad presence or feeling, but it was real weird. I was still good enough to walk back down to the main floor and look around, and was going to head to the finished downstairs basement, but as soon as I opened the basement door, I got the exact same feeling as I did in the loft. I ran out of that house as fast as I possibly could. To finish off, as soon as I got in my car, I called my buyer, and she answered the phone with, "It's haunted, isn't it?" I said, "Yes. Yes, it was."
Weird story. Would you live next to a graveyard?
I technically do, right? It's right down the street, technically, but...
There's a graveyard near here?
We've talked about it, yeah.
I didn't know it was that close, though.
It's literally like, if you take this, and I think you turn left at that street right there while you're driving on that, you see one on the left-hand side. Part of me, the curiosity would be there for sure. I'd be like, well, maybe I want to see some ghosts, you know? Maybe I want to have some firsthand accounts for this here podcast.
I would do it, and I would have cameras pointing toward the graveyard and a bunch of weird stuff in the house to protect me from ghosts that I don't believe in, just in case.
And then when they get around all that stuff, you'd just be sitting there like,
"Mommy." Of course I would.
Yeah, I don't know, man. And interesting, I think it's either in this one or the Sleep with the Lights On episode, but there's a story that's really similar with just having that feeling as soon as you hit a certain level in the house where you're just like, something feels off here.
Why do you think former churches tend to be haunted or religious, like buildings or whatever?
I don't even know if it's that. I think it's more so the location of it. But I guess a lot of old churches did have graveyards right next to them. You know, like way back in the day, that was kind of a common occurrence. So it's not too surprising. It is really weird that wasn't once mentioned in the listing, as if people were just not going to notice when they show up. Like, oh, look at that. A bunch of headstones.
It makes me feel like it's a certain state, like a particular state that doesn't make you put that in the listing. Because like, I think in California, you'd have to put that in there.
Yeah, I think
in a lot of states.
I was reading, it's a handful of states where it's the law that you have to disclose that type of information. But there's surprisingly a decent amount of stuff that, or like states out there where you don't have to say anything. If someone died in it, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, if it's haunted, who cares? But it does seem really weird.
But there's a lot of people that want to live in a haunted place.
That is true. That does happen as well. Yeah. I think I'd like to stay in a haunted place. I wouldn't like to live in one. Because I got to have that peace, you know? If I feel like I'm being watched constantly, then that is not going to be fun.
You could probably get used to it, though.
To an extent,
unless
sure.
They were loud and obnoxious ghosts.
Oh, got a couple of those in this, yeah.
Like that one from the hockey commercial that played like 15 times during the game yesterday. It was an insurance commercial.
The guy singing or whatever?
No, the ghost. I think it was a Progressive. Like, ignore him. He's just our ghost. Oh. He's like, there's mold in the walls. And he smells his finger. He reaches into the wall and he smells his fingers. Yep, mold. He was just an obnoxious ghost that was annoying him.
Classic. Can't have that.
It's a dumb commercial, especially because during our hockey games, they play the same commercials over and over again, but also kind of funny. It's not as like the Navy Federal Credit Union commercials. I don't know where I'd be without them.
Yeah. Oh, I know where you'd be. At a different bank.
Yeah.
Ta-da. Solved it. Let's get into this next one. It's called Bad Vibe. And it's by FTW Jillian, or For the Win, Jillian. This is a similar experience to the previous one. It says, I'm currently licensed in a couple of states, and when I was on the East Coast, I was working with a new buyer couple. I usually let my buyers walk around the property at their own pace, and I do my own walkthrough looking for issues like leaks, broken windows, just anything obvious in general. I cannot explain or describe the overwhelming feeling of dread I got the minute I walked into the back portion of the house. It was built in 1930-something and was added on to for more square footage later. The portion that was the extension was fine, but as soon as you crossed into the original portion, something was just off. The house was completely empty of all furniture, but for some reason in one of the guest rooms, in the closet, was a child's rocking chair with an old doll just sitting there. Nothing else in the closet, nothing else in the house. Just this weird closet doll. As soon as my client saw that, we left pretty quickly because it was just too weird. I didn't even finish my property walkthrough. I was so happy to get out of there, I didn't question it, and we just left to the next one. Some houses just give off extremely weird vibes. Now, two options there. We have a closet doll in a rocking chair, either extremely haunted house or extremely funny person leaving the house previously. Because that's some shit I would do. I just put something extremely creepy just in the closet or like in the crawl space or something like that, where the next person is like, what the hell is this? Some kind of sacrifice?
I like the one where somebody put like a fake skeleton in the wall and then years later they found it.
Yeah, that's some good stuff right there. Doesn't necessarily explain the weird feeling leading up to finding that, you know? So that leads me to believe there's something weird afoot, a lot of weird action going on so far. But it's interesting that, I mean, a lot of times you, and maybe it's just like Hollywood, like a Hollywood theme or whatever, but when you take an old house and then you renovate it, the ghosts get pissed. They're like, yo, what the hell are you doing to my pad? You know, at least in those situations that I've seen, it tends to be a thing where it's like, oh, everything was nice until we started renovating. And then they're like, oh, let's just put everything back. It'll be fine. But in this story, it was added on to at one point. And the extension of the house, there's nothing wrong with it. They felt nothing weird. But the second you cross back into the old house, it's like, oh, creepy again. Isn't that weird? Don't you think that, like, if it's an extension, it'd just be like, oh, well, this is also creepy then.
What if it's just like the way you build your house? I mean, when you hear about,
like, feng shui and shit?
Yeah, in certain ways that really good designers set things up. They put the house pointing the right direction for whatever reason, whether it's just views or
just checking the boxes, making sure you're like, I don't know if this is real, but just in case, I'm going to do all the right stuff.
Yeah. And that works, but other people will put things in, just build whatever. And maybe the wind blows through the eaves a certain way and that creates the infrasound or who knows what it could be that causes all this stuff. And you know, if you want to go really weird and say, maybe that's
demons.
The way, sir, not that weird.
Okay, I thought we were getting weird. Okay, never mind then.
You know, the way we build our dwellings might trap certain energies in there.
Isn't that what the old Winchester lady was known for doing when she was adding onto her house? Is she was trying to like confuse the ghosts? But right. I'm just going to make so many weird things in this house that they're constantly looking for me, but can never find me.
And what's sad is I think the ghosts were looking for her husband the whole time.
Probably.
Murder of millions.
That was the story, right? He was responsible for so many deaths that they were coming for vengeance or something like that.
Right.
What an interesting house. I would love to visit that one at some point.
I just met somebody recently that was there in the last month or so.
Oh, really? Where is it? Is that
Central California, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking California, but I couldn't, like, just for the life of me, I can't remember anything anymore. Classic.
I feel like it's somewhere near San Jose, but
sounds right.
I could be way off.
It sounds like it's got beachy vibes to it, at least in the vicinity. But who are we? You know, someone's going to comment on here and be like, actually, it's in Texas and it's in a desert. And I'll be like, oh, okay.
No, it's definitely in California.
Confidence.
It's just not in Southern California because I would have visited. I didn't spend much time in Central or Northern California, mainly just passing through.
This next one is called If Christian Was a Ghost, a.k.a. The Pervert.
I don't know why I got that. Mommy.
And it's by Kelsells 5. This is a nice little short one, also your favorite. I had a buyer once that would only look at houses that had a ghost story, and boy, did we get some good ones. Once I was hosting an open house back when the market used to be really slow, I felt a presence in the kitchen, like literally somebody slapping me on the butt. I thought, that's weird that the island is so close to the refrigerator. I was just checking the fridge out. When I turned around, the island wasn't close. A short time later, I was sitting outside because it was a beautiful fall day. I always keep the key closer in my pocket, and the door literally slammed shut and locked. I was stuck outside until someone from my office came to help. It was so weird, and no, it wasn't windy. Yeah, I got a couple of those stories in here where ghosts just like, nah, you're good. Slam the door. This is my abode, friend.
You sure it wasn't more like, were you born in a barn type
of thing? It could have been, yeah. It would have been maybe that generation.
Old school people had a thing about doors. Maybe they just took it into the afterlife with them.
Yeah. Like, damn it, I know that door's not open.
Back in the days before we wasted all our energy on heating and air conditioning.
Have you ever had any experiences with doors randomly slamming?
Yeah, but probably wind on most of them. It was the Antelope Valley.
That does happen. Yeah, I forget. There's like different things that can happen, almost like, I want to say vortex, but that's not the case. Like if you have a window open or something like that, it just creates this airstream.
Right.
When you completely open silent, will just slam a door on the other side of the house. And that is always freaky, but not necessarily paranormal.
Might change the pressure a little bit inside the house, and that might make it shut. Science is weird.
The same here, man. Like literally anytime we come to the studio, when I close this door, the kitchen door opens like slightly. And I'm like, well, that's not cool, is it? You know, what can we do? This is a house that was built in 1985, and it's drafty as a motherfucker, all right? Let me tell you.
Well, so you live in a windy area, so.
That doesn't help. It's the bane of my existence, turns out. There's always got to be a villain in my life, you know? And out here, it's the wind and the snow.
Wasn't it the wind in the Antelope Valley, too?
No, I was a more peaceful person back in those days. Ah, the winds of change, you could say.
Oh, my gosh, scorpions.
There you go. This next one is called Worth It for the Story, and it's by Nick Ryken. I had a couple with almost no money and only the husband working a modest job who were trying to buy a house. They decided they were okay living way out in the country, and I was able to find them a $72,000 house in the middle of nowhere that qualified for a 100% USDA loan. Would you live way out in the country? Like away from folks? You don't do a lot of driving, right?
No.
You probably just be, I feel like that'd be perfect. Like I said, when we got this house, I wished we were actually further away from people and just in the woods.
It's got its good points and bad points. I wouldn't be against it, but also sometimes it's a headache to have to drive.
I know. You're like, oh, need milk. Well, see you in 3 days' time.
Yeah.
I'll be back, I promise. If not, send for help after a week. It took me 3 total hours of drive time to visit this place every time I went. Now, see, that would not be fun.
Yeah, I couldn't.
That's where I draw the line. And the only reason I did it was because I knew the girl from a previous job and wanted to help her. I had never visited this tiny country town in the middle of nowhere and knew nothing about it. The house closed, with only his name on the mortgage and both their names on the deed. Within 3 days of the closing, she decided that she no longer wanted to be married and kicked him out of his brand new house that was in his name only. Now she was just going to be living there with their son. And now is when it gets good. She calls me up 2 days later and says that the neighbors came over to meet her and that they felt she needed to know something. Apparently, the person who the previous owner had bought the house from was murdered in the house. She asked if I knew that, and I told her no, I had absolutely no idea. I got online to look it up, and sure enough, it was true. The owner was the head of the local volunteer firefighters, and he and his wife apparently had a girlfriend together. The wife and girlfriend decided they didn't want him around and stabbed him in the bedroom. Wait, it gets even better. She tells me that there had been something strange going on in the house that she couldn't figure out, and after hearing the story, she was sure that his ghost was haunting the house. I had no idea what to tell her, and I just knew she was going to want to get out of the house somehow, and I was going to get blamed for not finding out the house was haunted beforehand. I told her to give me a couple days, see what I could find out about her having any recourse. Hang on, here comes the best part. She calls me 2 days later and says everything is fine now. This kind of threw me off, so I asked her what changed. She said, well, you remember that I'm a practicing witch, right? I had no idea, but I said yes. Apparently, she had smudged the house with burning sage to calm the spirit down, then held a ceremony to speak with him. The spirit then told her that he liked her and her child and didn't mind them living in the house. He promised to leave them alone and look after them. She also asked him if he could help get rid of the sugar ants that were in the kitchen, and he apparently did.
Nice.
She said that after that, she put a couple of protection spells on the outside of the house so that everything would be safe. She said everything had worked out and she was happy now. I told her I was glad to call me if she needed anything else. I did not really mean that, though. Oh, and after commission splits with my team leader and broker, I made less than $1,000 off this whole deal. It was totally worth it for the crazy story, though. Man, that has got to be a first for me, hearing a ghost helping you get rid of ants. But yeah, don't worry, lady. I got these.
That could be a new business.
True.
We'll bring the ghost to your house, and you'll get rid of all your rodents or pests.
And hey, what if they're like, the ghost is the pest now?
Well,
I don't want that.
We only deal in friendly ghosts.
Some real Casper energy coming off. That poor guy, though. Holy crap. He's like, oh, we're going to get a nice, modest house. I'm the only one making an income. And then 3 days after moving in, she's like, no.
What did he do?
You know, I've had this wild theory for a while that, you know, like if you, and we've talked about energies and different things like that, you know, stone tape, all that nonsense. What happens if you're in a location, the previous owners or whatever were constantly at each other's throats, were constantly angry with each other, like to the point of splitting up or something like that. And then you have a new couple move in and the same thing happens. Another couple moves in, same thing happens. You know, like, is that something that is at that point, is the land itself tainted? to like harbor a negative energy that is like, no, this pits people against each other, or it's like a evil spirit that likes to break people up or some. I feel like there's some kind of correlation, because I even thought about it with like this house, like when that old lady across the street was telling us like all the stories of how like there's that weird love triangle with the neighbors and this and that. I'm like, oof. I don't know.
But usually there's something there beforehand. So if the energy is going to trigger something, it was already there.
Yeah.
Also, this particular ghost, even though he had two ladies and they murdered him,
he thought he was living the high life for a moment there. And then
maybe he was. What a way to go.
It all comes crashing down. Yeah.
But maybe in the afterlife, he's like, I still like the ladies. I'll take care of you.
I got you.
And you even talk to me because you're a witch.
And there's just certain things, like, you know, that lady that told us all stories, whatever, she passed away in the house across the street. And, you know, they finally got it sold or whatever. And the new people moved in. And I was like, oh, I wonder if these people are going to be nicer or more quiet or not screaming all the time. Or
you should be careful, because what if they become fans of the podcast?
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that, you know, not too worried about that. And your boy speaks the truth. And this is just my first assumption. I could be very wrong. I plan on going over there and introducing ourselves at some point. But they literally moved in like, what, a week ago maybe? And yesterday I was out on the deck, you know, sitting with China or whatever, talking, and just hear screaming. I'm like, oh, great. Another screamer. Isn't that fun?
But it's dogs.
This time. But I heard screaming this morning too when I was out there. I'm like, maybe it's just a curmudgeon, you know, like an old lady that's in a tough spot again.
They're dachshunds. Everybody I've ever known is...
There's three dogs. There's two dachshunds, and then there's another. There's like a bigger, almost like a German Shepherd mix or something, but I could be wrong on that. But no, it's just interesting. Like, that's the exact same environment that it was before those people sold the house. And it's like, is there like a calling of some kind? Like it lures you in, or it's like, this is what we've made of this place. And anyone that comes here either turns into that or is already like that. And it's like, this is the perfect dwelling for me because this is who I am, or this is, I don't really know how to, I hope someone out there understands what I'm trying to get at, because in my head it makes sense, but I can't verbalize it properly. And it just sounds like a bunch of like, whoa,
like attracts light,
something like that. Yeah.
Like you're going to be attracted to the things you're focused on. So your mentality will lead you to the same places until you change, you know? So if you're somebody that yells a lot, maybe you're going to pick a certain property that speaks to you and maybe yells to you in your language.
Ah, move in.
Your energy language, if there's such a thing.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just always been in the back of my mind when I see stuff like that. Like, or, I mean, you think of like haunted houses and stuff like that in general, or like the Amityville story and all that, where it's like, oh, this lovely couple moves in, and then they just turn in at they get at each other's throats, start murdering the whole. There's just like a lot of weird stuff that goes on in the plane beyond our eyes, you know?
Life is a challenge.
And life is a challenge.
Obviously, so is the afterlife.
Isn't that great news for everyone that's really having a hard time here on Earth?
But you can float.
Can't wait.
You can float through walls.
Oh, there you go. Well, at least there's that. Hey, if someone can word my thoughts better, then comment wherever you're listening, and please explain it in a way that makes me sound like I actually know what I'm talking about. I'll give you credit. All right, this next one is called The Door. It's by Paul Zane. In the 70s, we had no computers.
Really?
Yes, you are all too familiar with the 70s. In the 70s, we had no commuters. But I'll just float it there, like Christian said earlier. We had no computers, let alone the photos we have now. We needed to preview every new listing that came up in our area. I was previewing a nice, clean, attractive upper middle professor's house that was vacant. I checked the upper level and it looked good. Then going down to a lower daylight level, the house was on a slope. I viewed the rec room and a bedroom before coming to still another bedroom door. For some reason, that closed door made me so cautious that I eased it open a tiny bit at a time, ready for anything and expecting to immediately slam the door shut. Now, please be aware that I was 6'3" and 210 pounds, had played football in college and been on the national champion rugby team, as well as having been a sergeant in the army. So I wasn't a timid little kid. Oh, you big hotshot, huh, guy? I then went into the empty room just as cautiously, opening the closet doors, and nothing. I spent time on that level trying to figure out why I had that sense of danger, but I couldn't. The next morning, our office had its meeting, and two of my fellow realtors, females who previewed together, were telling about this strange house that looked good and normal, except that when they went to the lower level, there was this one door that seemed scary. And of the hundreds of doors that they had opened, they could not get up the nerve to open the same door that I also almost lost my nerve on. And that was the only time in over 40 years I felt that. And to have independent weirdness was just too bizarre. I have no idea what might have been the story there, but would love to know.
A lot of pain and suffering.
It's a teenage girl's old bedroom or something like that. Just crying all the time. Or it was my bedroom as a teenager, just crying all the time. It's fine.
I was going to go darker, but...
Well, that is par for the course for you, yeah.
I'll leave that up to everybody on what could go on in one particular bad room in a house.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, so everybody mentally visualize that now. And scene.
Schedule your therapy accordingly.
And we will. I've always found it really weird because, like, I've read a bunch of stories about people that will be, they say they live in a haunted house, but it's only in, like, one bedroom. Or, like, it's just this room is weird and it gives off bad vibes and people saw a demon in here. And you're like, okay. And you're still in the house. But, yeah, it's fine. It's really only at the end of the hall.
That's when you tear everything down, bring in a witch, like the earlier story.
Sure, yeah. It seems like a great idea, Christian.
Smudge that room and then, remodel it.
There you go. Yeah,
what could possibly go wrong? Change the energy. Put some crystals in the wall.
My question.
Maybe a religious book or two. Bury those in the walls.
So what, it has reading material?
Cover all the religions.
Yeah.
Just in case, just put a big stack of books in between, the studs, seal it back up, you're covered.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
Maybe the hand of a priest.
It seems like it's getting really weird now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's a little too much.
Yeah. Apologies to the priests in the audience. And also, come on the show, damn it. Just kidding. It's fine.
You could put a monkey paw in there. That'll just add to it.
Yeah. So anyway, I feel like these stories kind of confuse me a little bit, though, because there's, like, what is it that shackles something to just one room? You know what I mean? Like, if it's a haunted house, it should be a haunted house. It should be, like, the ghost should be like, oh, I get to go wherever I want. Why is it just in one room? Is it something, like, a spiritual thing where it's just, this is where he spent all his time, he never left, or blah, 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 something along those lines? Or is it literally, like, it doesn't have the ability to leave the room?
What if it's not haunted? What if it's just the energy in there and... We produce
like a portal or something like that, like some weird vortex going
on. Not even that, just there's some kind of weird energy in there, and then we produce the ghost.
Oh, yeah.
Based on that energy or the ghost or demons or whatever, because we have to fill in the blanks. If we can't visualize something properly, we fill it in. So you're going to fill in something for whatever energy is going on, whether there's a ghost or not, which there probably isn't, because ghosts don't make sense. Nah, man.
I have to fight back on that one, I think ghosts, if anything, make perfect sense.
I don't know how they make perfect sense. They don't make perfect sense in a perfect design by our creator. They don't make sense based on that.
There's plenty of things that you could tie it to if you wanted to look into it further. But yeah, I've heard stories of, like, even ghosts. I was listening to a podcast recently, and there's a ghost in a bathroom, right? And these, like, schoolgirls or whatever would go in the bathroom and, like, talk to this thing, and it would communicate by flipping the fan vents and stuff like that, like, one for yes, two for no, blah, blah, blah. And after a few years, when it was time for, like, the girl telling the story to, like, move on to the next school or something like that, she was sad knowing that she'd have to leave this ghost that they've been talking to for a few years behind. And so she invites it. She's like, well, do you want to come with me? And the ghost is super excited. Like, yeah. And so she ends up taking the thing home. Turns into a creepy story. So you have entities that are like seemingly trapped within this bathroom for years and years and years and years. And then they talk to someone and the person's like, hey, you want to come with me? It's like, yeah, sure, why not? Like, is it like a vampire situation where they have to be invited in?
That almost sounds like a genie in the bottle type of thing where you could.
Kind of.
You could just.
Genie event.
You release it and take it somewhere else.
Yeah.
And you have the power to do that. Maybe that's why certain people are always surrounded by hauntings, because it just follows them around.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because there's people that say that certain spirits can latch onto you, right? On its own, it doesn't have the ability to leave or go anywhere. But if it is talking to you and you're like, hey, do you want to come with me? Then it can latch, like, attach itself to you. and then you are leading it out. You know, so does it need like a physical host or something like that to remove it from a situation and take it somewhere else? I don't know, but that's what I'm saying. Like when I hear stories like this, where it's like just one bedroom is super creepy, no idea what happened. The rest of the house, dope. You know,
if it's all in your mind, it would be easy to take a ghost to a new destination though too.
Yeah, if it's all in your mind, it'd be easy to take a ghost to the Keys, you know?
Right.
Hey, let's take this ghost to the Keys. Oh, hey, while we're at it, let's go to the moon.
Yeah, I really like my demon. Let's go to the beach.
Yeah, why not? You know, let's celebrate together as is tradition.
Maybe that's how you keep your demons happy. Well, that is how I keep my inner demons happy, is going to the beach. So,
hey, I mean, yeah, who amongst us? Well, me, kind of. I'm not a huge beach guy, turns out. Like, even when we're in Jamaica, I would much rather be sitting on the deck of our, like, suite than on the beach.
When I was in Costa Rica, I just sat in the water for hours at a time.
Yeah, but see, your boy's got that pasty lily white skin that does not react. Actually, the Italian part of me tans very well. The Irish part of me burns to a crisp. So
that's why you just wear one
balance.
You wear one of those shirts that you wear in the water,
and then just my face is destroyed.
I mean, sunblock every 10 minutes for you.
I'm someone that doesn't enjoy farmer's tans, so that's kind of my thing, you know?
Yeah, put all that sunblock on, you'll single-handedly be responsible for destroying coral reefs.
I'm okay with that. Is that a bad thing? Are we not supposed to do that?
No, we're not supposed to do that.
Yeah. Well, hey, you live and learn, just like we're going to live and learn to get into this next story. It's called Ghost in the Attic, and it's by Sage Green Owl.
It's like Bats in the Belfry.
Or it's like Cats in the Cradle.
Ooh, I just got sad.
Well, that happens on this show, I'm finding. She says, my sister is a realtor and showed a house near a military base in New Jersey several years ago. Everything started normal enough, except she said the air felt heavy. As they were heading to the upstairs, she said she felt like her heart was being squeezed and someone was sitting on her chest. Then, the two clients also felt it, and even though my sister was willing to keep going, the client's wife said enough and that they had to leave. So that house didn't get an offer that day. On another occasion, my sister was working as my realtor, and I'm more psychic than she is, humble brag, but we went to see an old house in central New Jersey, and I knew the damn house was haunted the second we stepped in. The second we stepped in, the feeling of a man was there, and the wife's energy was all through the upstairs, and she felt sick, like someone whose illness had infiltrated the walls themselves. Then my husband, who is not psychic at all, had a run-in with the ghost of the husband who was up in the attic. My husband went to turn the doorknob upstairs to enter the attic, and we all three immediately knew the man was up there and was very perturbed to have strangers in his house. Needless to say, we did not purchase the house. Someone else did, and when I drive by, I often wonder what it's been like for them. Well, I can tell you this right now. Sage Green Owl, it has probably not been great. Although, I will say this, that sometimes, you know, the hauntings start off light. It's like, yeah, what a beautiful house for 6 months after we move in. And then suddenly something happens. And it's like, the guy's like, you know what? Fuck these people. Time to flip over crosses and start knocking things off the walls.
Sometimes, like you said, humble brag about her being psychic. Maybe she's not as psychic as she thinks she is.
Hmm. Yeah, I do feel like there's a lot of people that throw that around willy-nilly, like, oh, I'm kind of a psychic myself. And you're like, really? Or do you just have some intuition every once in a while? And you're like, ah, yes, I call it the future.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we can think we're psychic, but it's more just...
until we play the lottery.
Yeah, exactly. Prove it with lottery or good stock picks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, anybody can talk to voices other people can't hear.
That's right. I do it all the time.
Yeah. Can you actually use your psychic abilities to bring good into the world? Instead,
or good into your bank account. Is that a thing?
Well, if you're a good person, having money in your bank account might produce good results for other people.
There you go. Yeah. It's the roots. You got to have good roots.
Hmm. For hair and a good life.
For hair, you can just go with Maybelline most likely, but...
Maybelline, that's makeup.
I believe they also have shampoo, Christian. I'm not going to die on this hill, but I also believe in my heart of hearts that they make shampoo and conditioners as well.
I mean, that kind of makes sense.
It does, right? Hey, someone out there that's a Maybelline person, sound off on this very important topic that we're discussing. No, not the realtor ghost stories. The shower products, of course.
The makeup
shower products, yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm not impressed by this story as much.
Hmm. Whenever it's just kind of like a vibe, it's hard. And there's been a few of those stories in this episode where it's just kind of a vibe. I feel like I should have replaced one of the Sleep with the Lights On episodes, because those are, there's some terrifying stuff in those ones. But
it just gives me the opportunity to point out psychics probably aren't real, but witches are. Get a witch instead of a psychic.
What story was I reading yesterday that was most, I'll say 9 times out of 10, I don't believe any kind of psychic or anything like that. But there was one story I was reading yesterday that this person, I don't remember if they're buying a house or something, and they were at a bar, and this random lady sitting there smoking a cigarette at the bar, like, looked over and just started telling her stuff about her life, and pretty much like called it. She's like, you got a really toxic friend in your life that celebrates your downfall. It's like, I don't know who that is, but you got to figure it out. And you got to cut them out of your life and this and that. Like went on for like a little bit, just detailing certain things. And the lady was like, that was really weird how accurate that was. Just some random, you know, bar person. And then she, like, within the next week or something like that, like, everything was happening exactly like the lady had said it. And so I'm like, there, I feel like there's certain people out there that have access to that type of stuff. And maybe it's something that's just a feeling that something, or maybe something you have to work through or work out or like test or flex a little bit, you know. But I do definitely believe there's people out there that have that ability. I just don't. I think the majority, the great majority, 90-95% of psychics, there's all bullshit, you know, mind games or what's it called when you
a mentalist?
Yeah, mentalist type shit.
Because
yeah.
I was going to bring that up. Mm.
That's some crazy shit too. What mentalists can do, because it seems like magic. It seems like straight up magic.
But it's just reading cues that most of us ignore.
Or is it the devil?
It's not the devil. The devil doesn't exist. But going back to the mummy. Yeah, going back to the mentalist as this bar. First off, don't ever trust meeting a so-called psychic in a bar. Because also if you're in a bar and say, in this case, sounds like it was two women talking, you tend to have that one friend that talks shit behind your back.
Sure.
When you're living the bar life. That's not hard to pick out. You could just say that to almost anybody.
I've wanted to say it to a friend of mine for a while now.
Yeah. And it's just the way it is. I think it's just maybe once somebody says that to you, you're going to notice certain things more. Mm. Your attention's going to be on it. Doesn't necessarily mean anything like that is a psychic experience. It's just maybe more somebody reading the look on your face, the shit you're saying to the bartender, or just the way you look at your drink, like it's magic relief for all the problems in life.
Oh yeah. Don't do that.
You know?
Now, let me ask you this. I know this is wildly off topic of realtor ghost stories, but it's fine. This is the podcast and you guys know how it works, okay? If you've been here for a while, if you're new, I'm sorry. This happens sometimes. If you had this ability and you felt something about a random stranger, would you tell them?
No.
Really?
Well, I'm a guy too, so it depends on the stranger.
Is it a hot girl? Then yeah, I'll go tell her.
No, that's probably not the time to go tell somebody something crazy.
Hey, lady, I've got a story for you.
You're in danger. And only I can save you.
Yeah, with my hero.
With my mentalist abilities.
Yeah, I almost had a Freudian slip there. But I forget where. It was something churchy, but I had to go out in public and talk to strangers about stuff. And I do remember approaching some random guy and like talking to him and praying with him or whatever. And having some information revealed to me that when I talked to him about it, he was like, that is actually something that's going on right now. I was like, oh, that is very wild. I mean, yes, of course it is. Yes, indeed.
And if you take the time to look closely, you can see it a lot. Like people that do a lot of people watching, like me, like I'll sit there and just fabricate a story of somebody's life sometimes. And
you'll do that on this podcast many a times.
It's just what I do.
That's what he does.
And I don't typically go up to a stranger and find out if I'm accurate, but it would be interesting to see how accurate I could be.
It would be fun. Just be like, hey, I know this is going to sound really weird, but do you have a cousin named Ted? They're like, holy shit, yes, I do. I'm like, yes, I got one. And then you just walk away, no explanation, no context, just like, all right, see ya. Anyway, that feels like it's getting wildly off topic. Sorry about that, folks, but it's fine, honestly. We got one more story in the chamber for you, and it's called He Doesn't Want Me Here. And it's by Christy Kyle. My client and friend loves old homes. So we spent a lot of time in the Myers Park area of Charlotte seeing every home from the 1900s that became available. Of course, the architecture and history are a draw when looking at these homes. One of the last homes we saw before making her decision was built in 1920 on Selwyn Avenue. A small brick ranch with a basement with just enough room and in the right area. We walked in, and the normally talkative client was silent as we walked through. I was pointing out all the features she would have and, of course, the great location. As I opened the door to the basement, she all of a sudden grabbed me and said, "I have to get out of this house." I was confused, of course, and said, "Why?" She made it out the front door and took my hand to show me her heart was beating out of her chest. Still confused, I said, "What?" "I felt someone in there, and he didn't want me there," she said. "Really? I didn't feel anything." She went on to tell me she had never had that feeling before, but she got a bad feeling when she walked in and felt someone else was there. It made her whole body shiver and her heart race. It took a bit to calm her down, but we did not go back in. You know what I'm finding out of this episode is that you should really be in tune with your feelings when you're looking at a house.
This is true.
Yeah. I know when we were looking for houses, it got to the point we saw so many that I was just tired of looking at houses where I was just like, honestly, don't care. Let's pick one that seems nice and let's go with it. But even though this one did draw me mainly because it had this extra garage that I'm like, I can convert that into a studio, make a spooky ghost podcast, you know?
Right.
So that was kind of the draw because this was probably like the second or third house that we looked at before looking at a dozen other ones or some shit. But so far, so good. You know, there's been a couple of weird encounters here, but maybe I was drawn here.
Maybe those weird encounters were all in your mind.
Yes, of course. Church magic. Yes, of course. Church magic. Isn't that fun?
It is fun.
That is fun. Yeah.
Everybody loves church magic.
Now, the real question, would you trust that instinct? You, as someone that doesn't necessarily believe in this stuff, or doesn't definitely believe in this stuff. You're looking for a house. You walk in and it seems like a great fit, right? Everything seems fine. You open the door to the basement and you have this overwhelming sense that there's something there and it doesn't want you there. Would you look past that? Or would you be like, no, I think we're going to call it quits?
I wouldn't look past it. It would probably influence my decision if I felt like that.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have to be a ghost. It would just be something that felt wrong. And I think, you know, us humans are notorious for feeling something's wrong, and either because everybody else is doing it or we rationalize it in a certain way, we will still follow through with it and it'll sometimes get us in trouble.
Oftentimes.
I mean, like one of the stories that I've heard from like some serial killers is how their victim knew but didn't want to seem like a bad person. So they didn't get themselves out of that situation when they had a chance. And I would think that our feelings, you know, our senses should be paid attention to, and doesn't, you don't necessarily have to know why they're reacting that way, but you know, the least I could do is maybe have a second viewing of a place on a different day and see if I still feel the same.
Because go back and be like, is it still here?
Yeah. It could have just been,
that would be a smart move actually.
Other things in my life, you know, like you know, when we're recording, if I get like a bad text message beforehand, it's really hard to get back into
the spooky ghost vibe.
Yeah. And so it's like life can affect you in a bunch of different ways. And a lot of times we don't notice it because we're so busy trying to get through, you know, our task or our obligations or our responsibilities. We miss a lot of things. That's why there's that saying, don't forget to stop and smell the roses, which is something you should have written all over the place.
But, well, there's no roses anywhere, so unfortunately.
And why is there no roses? Because you're afraid of bees.
I'm not afraid of bees. I'm just smart enough to know that I don't want them near me. And so I'm not going to put stuff around that they're going to come at. You know what I mean? It's called thinking ahead, Christian, and it's called anxiety. Actually, you know what's hilarious is kind of what you're talking about with like people, like the victims of serial killers and stuff like that, like not wanting to be rude. That's actually anxiety.
Right.
Ironically enough, I learned that from a comedian who I was watching a clip. I shared a clip on my Instagram a couple of days ago about this. I think the guy's name is Zoltan or something like that. But he's talking about, he's like, all this time I thought I was just being polite, but it turns out that I just have like really bad anxiety. And, you know, he mentioned something about being like deboarding a plane and like counting the rows and stuff like that. And being, okay, when this person gets up, I'm going to get up and start getting my suitcases. And so you're planning everything ahead. You're getting prepared and everything like that. And like, he was like, your wife looks at you and she's like, what's wrong? And you're like, well, we got to go now. We have to leave now, like right now. And it's like in your head, you're doing that because you don't want the person behind you to like punch you in the head for taking too long or being like, or start getting angry at you or you see an angry look on their face. For me personally, I was like, holy shit, I get that daily. And it's like, if I'm at, let's just say checking out at the market or something like that, and something doesn't scan, and they're sitting there like, oh, that's so weird. And there's someone behind me in line, and the person at the register is just trying to scan it for 30 minutes. Like, oh, it's so weird. It's not weird. Hey, hella through the roof anxiety. I'm like, everyone behind me hates me. They're ready for me to die. I'm like, oh, this is taking way too long. I have become the villain of this entire city because this product doesn't want to scan. And I was like, for the entire time, I just thought, I was like, oh, I'm just trying to be considerate of people. I'm trying to be like, okay with people's feelings and stuff like that. And I don't want to be like, you know, rock the boat or anything like that. But it turns out it's just been anxiety the entire time. Isn't that fun?
So don't buy a house
when you have anxiety.
Right.
And I made that mistake. So maybe this place is hella haunted, you know?
Haunted with your anxiety.
That does happen sometimes. Most times. All the times.
Not but by any non-existent spirits that...
I don't think you can prove that. See, that's where we are at a stalemate because...
I still don't understand why the creator would leave spirits behind.
Who says the creator leaves spirits behind? You know what I mean?
The all-knowing creator should be able to protect all his spirits on this earthly plane.
It seems really weird that you, someone that is just a person, thinks that you understand the way everything should work more than the creator. That's just not the way it works, my friend. That is a...
And that is the problem with having a creator that doesn't take care of their people.
Once again, man.
I'm not saying this is just something I struggle with. It's not necessary. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean anything against a so-called creator.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong.
It's just troubling.
It is troubling.
That people suffer.
It is troubling. And you know who's responsible for that? People. 100% people.
Yeah. But why are people allowed to suffer and die in horrible ways?
That's free choice. That's free will.
Is it though?
Yeah.
I'm not
100%. It's free
will.
I'm not a
total proponent for free will.
Okay.
But that's another time.
Unfortunately, be it good or bad, that's love, is letting people make their own choices, and people make bad choices that affect good people sometimes. That's suffering. There's a lot of suffering in the world, Christian.
It just doesn't compute in my brain.
Doesn't compute a lot of people. I'm not saying you're wrong. Like I said, shit shouldn't be the way it is. But
yeah, it's just
assuming that we know better than a creator is that's a bold assumption for someone.
It's not that I assume I know better. I don't accept the way these things are. So it troubles me. Maybe it's my own different form of anxiety. Like
it could be
if there is this, why should there be that? And if it has to be this way, there should be something that makes sense of it all for me. And it doesn't in my brain. And that's probably why I am a little bit of the way I am, skeptical and stuff, because I need things to make a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
But also I understand that the world does not make sense. So sometimes I just let it go.
It's a circle, really.
But if I was to think about it, which sometimes our episodes require me to do, to think in different ways, I'm like, I'm not accepting of the way we are. And I want something to come from the sky or to magically appear in our brains that make us different, to make us better. Well, and of course, that's just all us working on ourselves. That's the only way to do it. But that's hard in itself.
I know. As someone that is working on myself plenty, it doesn't get easier, unfortunately.
Well, and I have a different outlook on life than you do, but that doesn't mean it's any easier for me. Mm-hmm. It brings its own things. Everybody's different.
That is true.
And everybody that's buying a house experiences their hauntings different, if there
to
are indeed hauntings.
Yes. I will say there are answers to all of your questions on all of those things because it eats everyone alive. Okay. It's there's something that you think there should be an answer to. You think you're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. But when you actually look into it, then it does make more sense.
No, it doesn't.
It does, though.
To you, it doesn't make any sense to me.
But that's because you stop looking into it. If you continue to look into something and you dedicate more time to it, you're like, I need to get to the bottom of this. Why is this the way it is? Or blah, blah, blah. Like, then there's people out there that have answers to those questions, or at least potential answers to those questions. I don't take anything.
They have answers based on their experiences and their beliefs.
Isn't that what everyone's life is, though, to a certain extent?
But that doesn't mean they're right.
Doesn't mean they're wrong either.
That just might mean that.
Does it comfort you? Like that's the thing. If it brings you comfort, if it resonates with you, then you're like, maybe there's something to that. And you could be completely wrong. We could all be completely wrong. But
just bringing comfort to you is not good enough, because certain like certain leaders in the past have told people, this will bring comfort to you. And instead it brings war and genocide. And
certain leaders in the present do the same, yes.
I mean, certain leaders all the time. Mm. You know, the good ones throughout history could probably be counted with two hands, if not one.
Sure.
And also, the viewing them as good is just your viewpoint, you know. And
there's always another side.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean you're right. That's maybe the thing. We're so busy sometimes trying to understand all these outside things, you know, our existence, whether ghost or real, instead of just dealing with things that affect us on the inside.
Instead of, what do ghosts feel?
Exactly. I mean, let's get
ghosts,
woke.
Give me your emotions. Yeah.
Everybody likes a woke ghost.
Yeah. You know who's not going to like the end of this episode? Ellen. But she probably stopped listening a while ago, that bitch, you know?
Who's Ellen?
The one that hates me or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Talk shit. The one? Like, there's just one out there? No, we've had plenty of haters.
That's just the way it goes. That's because they don't see the world through our correct viewpoint. Because we are right and they are wrong.
For once, it is a team. Us being correct and them being incorrect. Yes.
Yes.
What a beautiful way to end this episode. Yeah, so I ran out of stories about 10 minutes ago, and we've just been freeballing it since, but we would love your opinions. What do you think of these things? Have you ever had an experience when you're looking at a home, or when you first moved into a house, or maybe the house you're in right now, that feels haunted? Or do you know any realtors that have any paranormal experiences of their own that would like to send into the show? This is the second volume of For Sale Not Haunted, and I have failed to reach out to like my two realtor friends yet again. So if we do this again in the future, I'm going to have to really reach out to them beforehand and be like, hey, you show a lot of houses. Have you seen any ghosts? Have you seen any demons afoot? Yes, of course. Witchcraft. That is not this episode. And again, remember to keep an eye out for Sleep with the Lights On. We're going to do a correlating episode with even more realtor horror stories. And these are from some fascinating folks. So you're going to want to hear that. Whenever it comes out, I wish I was better at this, but I'm not. Sorry. I recently...
saved a lot of money by switching to Geico?
No, that was only like 15%. Next week, we're going to be diving into some park ranger horror stories.
Park rangers.
National park.
Et cetera. Said it wrong. I said it like Excedrin. But yeah, it'll be park rangers, people that do that kind of jobs.
Yeah. Next week, we're talking about park rangers and people that do that kind of job.
Or people that, there's a couple that aren't quite park rangers.
Wow.
But they're still out there doing that kind of stuff.
We're really selling this next episode, folks.
We're doing park rangers.
We're not doing park rangers. We're talking about them. First of all, Christian's not that kind of show. You pervert. Secondly.
Come at me, bro.
And with that, we bid you adieu. Folks, follow us on social media at Freaky Deaky Pod. Rate and review the show. Send in your stories to be considered for listener story episodes to the gang at thefreakydeaky.com.
Don't forget the merch shop.
Don't forget the merch. It's popping.
It's popping.
It's popping. Anyway, we will see you right back here next week for creepy park ranger stories and people that also do other things, but mainly park ranger stories. Goodbye.